This article is brought to you by the best-selling book See Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. The role of disgust as an under-examined window into your values. What your strongest revulsion reveals about what you truly stand for. In short, disgust is one of the most precise emotional signals for self-awareness. Yet, it is almost never examined. Your strongest feelings of revulsion are not character flaws or overreactions. They are a direct readout of your deepest values, firing before your rational mind has time to catch up. When something triggers disgust, it is almost always defending a principle you hold at your core. Learning to trace what that principle is gives you more reliable self-knowledge than most structured reflection exercises. The emotion does not create the value. It reveals one that was already there, waiting to be named. Definition disgust as a value signal is the process by which your visceral feelings of revulsion map directly onto your core beliefs and moral convictions. When something you witness or experience violates a deeply held principle, disgust fires as an immediate, automatic signal of that violation, often before conscious thought arrives. Few things feel more personal than what repels you. I have sat with enough people across enough years to notice that when someone describes a moment of real disgust, they are not just describing a reaction. They are, without knowing it, reading aloud from the most honest inventory of their values that exists. That is the idea at the heart of this article. Disgust as a value signal is one of the most underused tools in self-awareness, overlooked because most of us retort to manage it or push past it rather than read it. But understanding what your disgust is actually saying changes how clearly you see yourself, and it changes how you communicate in the moments that matter most. By the end of this, you will understand why disgust works the way it does, what it is actually pointing at, and how to make practical use of it in real situations. Why disgust gets left out of most emotional intelligence conversations. Most frameworks built around emotional intelligence give you a map of the obvious territory: fear, anger, sadness, joy. These are the emotions that show up in workplace conversations, in feedback models, in training rooms. They're taught as signals worth reading. Disgust gets left at the door. It is treated as primitive, as a bodily reaction to contamination, as something to suppress rather than something to examine. That treatment is a serious oversight. When you leave disgust out of the map, you leave out some of the most direct information your emotional system is capable of producing. The problem is partly historical. Disgust's most obvious role is physical. You feel it toward rotten food, toward disease, toward things your body registers as threatening. That association makes it easy to dismiss it as non-cognitive, as nothing more than our survival reflex. But the same system that fires at spoiled meat also fires at a colleague who takes credit for someone else's work. And in that second case, it is not your immune system talking. How disgust actually works as a signal. Here is the truth of it. When something violates a value you hold deeply, your emotional system reacts before your rational mind has formed a sentence. Disgust is one of the fastest of those reactions. It arrives as a full body signal, a contraction, a pulling away, a sense that something is fundamentally wrong. That speed is the key. Because disgust fires so quickly, it has not had time to be filtered through social caution, through professional manners, through your concern about how you come across. What you feel in that first half second is as unguarded as your emotional system gets. That makes it unusually reliable as data. The mechanism works like this. You carry a set of convictions about how people should treat each other, about what is fair, about what constitutes integrity. Those convictions form over a lifetime. Some are chosen consciously. Many were absorbed from family, culture, or formative experience. When something you observe or experience runs directly against one of those convictions, disgust fires as an alarm. It is your value system announcing a violation. Think about what actually triggers your strongest disgust responses in professional life. A manager who humiliates a junior colleague in front of the team. A decision made on the basis of who is liked rather than who is right for the job. A colleague who says one thing in a meeting and another in the corridor. Each of these scenarios produces disgust in some people and merely mild discomfort in others. And the difference tells you exactly which values each person holds at their core. If workplace dishonesty hits you harder than almost anything else, clarity and trust are almost certainly near the top of your value system. If what you find most repellent is the abuse of power over someone with less, then fairness and protection of the vulnerable are likely fundamental to who you are. The emotion does not create these values. It reveals them. What this looks like when it plays out in real situations. I want to give you a few concrete situations, because the mechanism only becomes useful when you can spot it working. A project manager I worked with was convinced his main problem was managing conflict. He kept finding himself in confrontations with a senior colleague and could not understand why. When I asked him to describe the moments that set him off most, he said the same thing every time the colleague would wait until others had laid the groundwork on a proposal, then arrive late to the discussion and position himself as the originator of the idea. That description came with a visceral quality. He did not just dislike it. He was disgusted by it. And when we traced the response, what emerged was a very clear and genuinely held conviction about intellectual honesty and giving credit where it is due. That was his value. The disgust was protecting it. Once he could name that, two things changed. He could communicate about the actual issue rather than the accumulation of frustration, and he could recognise when his reaction was proportionate and when it was amplified beyond what the situation required. A second example. A woman I knew in a leadership role described near physical revulsion every time her organisation announced a policy that applied differently to senior staff than to everyone else. She had been treating this as a personal sensitivity, something to manage. When she examined the disgust, she found a deep conviction about equal standards and dignity at work. That conviction was not incidental to her identity, it was central to it. Naming it helped her understand why certain conversations drained her, why she communicated with particular force on certain topics, and where her strongest professional instincts came from. If you want to deepen this kind of self-awareness in charged situations, particularly when strong emotions make clear thinking harder, the approach and how to use the core framework to stay calm when feedback triggers a defensive reaction pairs directly with what you learn here. Knowing what your disgust is protecting tells you which value has been touched. Having a method to stay grounded means you can respond rather than react. Why the signal goes unread for so long? There are a few clear reasons why most people never turn toward their disgust with genuine curiosity, and each reason reinforces the others. The first is stigma. Disgust does not feel intelligent or sophisticated. Anger can be framed as passion. Fear as prudence. But disgust tends to feel like evidence of narrowness, of judgment, of being difficult. So people suppress it rather than examine it. That suppression cuts off one of the most direct lines into self-knowledge they have. The second reason is that disgust is associated with the body, with the physical world, and most people have not been shown how the same system operates in moral and social contexts. If no one has ever pointed out that your revulsion at a particular kind of behaviour is carrying information, you simply will not look for it. The third is that examining disgust requires honesty about what you actually value, not what you think you should value. That gap can be uncomfortable. Someone who discovers their disgust is defending a value they absorbed from family rather than chose for themselves now has to decide what to do with that. That is real work. It is easier to stay on the surface. This is why self-awareness built around disgust is rarer and deeper than most other forms. It asks you not just to notice what you feel, but to ask what principle you're actually defending, and whether that principle genuinely belongs to you. Understanding how reactive emotions like disgust connect to the amygdalar hijack also helps explain why the signal arrives with such physical force before your thinking mind has a chance to intervene. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Using disgust as a practical tool for deeper self-knowledge. The practice here is simple in structure, though it takes some courage to apply consistently. When you notice a strong disgust response in a meeting, in a conversation, reading an email, watching a decision get made, do not immediately try to manage it or push past it. Pause and ask, what principle is this protecting? Be specific. Not just I value honesty, but what kind of honesty? Honesty about credit, about intent, about process. The more precisely you can name the value, the more useful the information becomes. Over time, you will notice which values appear repeatedly, which ones seem to sit at the absolute center of how you operate, and which may have been inherited rather than chosen. Two questions are worth making habitual. The first, what would need to be true for this not to bother me? That question isolates the principle being violated. The second, is this a value I chose, or one I absorbed? That second question is, where genuine self-awareness deepens. You can connect this practice to the compound effect of small daily communication habits more broadly. Paying attention to your emotional signals every day, including the ones that feel unpleasant or inconvenient, builds a kind of inner literacy that most people never develop. Once you know which values your disgust routinely defends, you gain something else, the ability to communicate about the real issue in a tense situation, rather than the emotional symptom. You stop saying, "I just don't like how that was handled," and start being able to say what bothered me about that is that it felt like we were treating these two situations by different standards, and that matters to me. That is a much more honest and much more productive conversation. For situations where those values come into conflict with a manager who dismisses the problem, the value method gives you a clear structure for advocating from that honest place. This same clarity helps when you need to give corrective feedback. Knowing your own values means you can apply the SBI method with genuine conviction rather than following a script mechanically. And when tension is already present in a conversation, knowing what you are actually defending helps you stay grounded using their approach and how to use the core framework to stay grounded during a tense workplace conversation. There is also a broader implication for how you handle pressure and confidence in your role. Managers who handle tension well are often the ones who know their own values with precision. That self-knowledge is exactly what the confidence competence loop builds on over time. What you will know about yourself after you start looking. Here is what I have seen happen, again and again, when people stop dismissing their disgust and start reading it. They stop being confused about their own reactions. They stop apologizing for caring about the things they care about. They begin to communicate with more precision, more confidence, and more genuine respect for the people they are talking with, because they are speaking from what they actually value rather than from a managed version of themselves. Disgust as a value signal is not comfortable to examine. The roots of it go deeper than most emotions, which is exactly why it carries so much information. When you learn to follow that signal back to its source, you're not just doing emotional housekeeping. You're doing the most direct form of self-awareness available to you, asking not just what you feel, but what you fundamentally stand for. Frequently asked questions. What is disgust as a value signal in self-awareness? Disgust as a value signal means your strongest feelings of revulsion point directly to what you hold most sacred. When something violates a core belief, disgust fires before your rational mind can process it. That instant reaction is reliable emotional data about your deepest convictions. How can disgust help you understand your own values? Pay attention to what triggers your strongest disgust responses, then ask what principle that response is protecting. If dishonesty in a colleague repels you, fairness is almost certainly a core value. The emotion does not create the value, it reveals one that was already there. Why is disgust an underexamined emotion in emotional intelligence? Most emotional intelligence frameworks focus on fear, anger, and sadness. Disgust is treated as a primitive reaction to be managed rather than a signal to be read. That oversight leaves people with an incomplete picture of their own emotional landscape and what drives their strongest reactions. Can disgust as a values window mislead you? Yes, sometimes disgust reflects inherited beliefs or social conditioning rather than genuinely held values. The practice is to sit with the emotion, trace what principle it is defending, and honestly ask whether you chose that principle or simply absorbed it. That distinction is where real self-awareness begins. How does reading your disgust responses improve workplace communication? When you know which values your disgust is protecting, you can name what is actually bothering you in a tense situation rather than just reacting. That clarity reduces defensive escalation and helps you communicate the real issue rather than the emotional symptom. It also helps you spot value conflicts early. Is disgust the same as anger in emotional self-awareness? No. Anger typically fires when you feel blocked or treated unfairly in the moment. Disgust fires when something violates a deeper moral or ethical standard you hold. Both are useful signals, but disgust tends to point further inward, toward your identity and what you consider fundamentally wrong. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.